we are starting to see at least the political landscape take shape as more and more candidates are entering races. And we've got six huge statewide races here in Arizona that are happening in 2022. The governor's office, the secretary of state's office, the attorney general, the superintendent, the state treasurer, and Mark Kelly will be running for a full term in his Senate seat. So those six races are really going to be a big part of the political landscape. You factor into that that the Democrats have caught up with the Republicans in the legislature, where there is only a one seat advantage in both the House and the Senate for Republicans, when years ago that was a foregone conclusion that Republicans were going to have control. So a story was written about Arizona Latino votes being up for grabs. You understand, in Arizona, with the huge Latino population that we have, you have got to carry a big number of votes of Latino voters in order to get anything passed or to win any office in just about any part of town or any part of the state that you live in. So joining us now to talk about this is Stephen Nuño. He's a senior analyst from Latino Decisions. First of all, Stephen, thanks for coming on the show. But let's talk about this. Do you believe that that political parties are not as relative anymore and that the Latino vote is up for grabs? Or do you disagree with the principle of this story?
Well, yeah, I think there are indicators out there that still suggest that there's still an opening for more Latino voters amongst both parties.
When you look at this, at the landscape, and I've always looked at not just demographics of voters by race or age or gender, but when you look at issues alone, when you look at specific issues, is there a shift? Because in Arizona, overall with voters, education has been the number one issue for the last couple of years, but that has shifted now to the border in most polls. Where does that line up with Latino voters, in your opinion? What are the priorities for Latino voters?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, kind of interestingly, because of the age and youth of Latino voters, the median age for Latinos in Arizona is about 27 years old. These are mostly kind of family-aged a group where they're looking for solutions that are going to help families, whether it's education, healthcare, as we focus more on the border. Solutions to immigration reform. Those are the types of issues that we see kind of percolating more to the top now.
When you look at, I guess I'm asking so much in broad brush questions, yeah. But what are they looking for? What are Latino voters looking for in a candidate? If it's not just issues, what is it that they look at and look for?
Yeah, I think right now they're looking for solutions, right? I mean, the last 4 years, Democrats have been saying that the Republicans are evil, they're awful, they're hurting, you know, Hispanic families, they're vilifying us. And now that the Democrats are in power and have control of the of Congress, they want to see, okay, well, now that you're in charge, let us know what your solutions are. And I think that's one of the big problems right now. The Democrats are really struggling to pass legislation that's going to help Latino families. And you know, we'll see over the next year and a half if they can do it. But right now they want actual solutions.
The president has had good poll numbers for most of his presidency. I know it's early in the presidency, but for the first part of the year, has polled fairly well, except for the border issue. Latino families in Arizona are obviously connected closer than the rest of the country because we're a border state. Where do you see the Latino vote right now on the solution of what's happening at the border?
Well, they overwhelmingly support a pathway to a pathway to citizenship and have for a very long time. I think, you know, one of the other things is when we actually look at what's going on the border, you know, what we're seeing is a very cyclical effect with, you know, we see an economy that's starting to heat up. We see we're at the time of year where more folks are crossing the border for jobs. I don't really agree with the premise that there's a problem at the border. And so I think there's a lot of attention on the border, and I think that's an indicator, right? This is an old Republican sort of strategy, is to focus their base's attention to the border. So I think that's red meat for Republican voters. and Republicans are going to continue to, you know, to hit on that issue. I think the more that happens, the more Latinos are probably going to have a reaction to that. And I think this is why we see greater attention on immigration reform.
Yeah, and I think, again, this is where I was hopeful. I have been hopeful that because we have two Democrat senators that are both saying that the federal government has failed, at least Kyrsten Sinema said very vocally, the federal government has failed Arizona with border issues, that maybe that they could be the bridge that something bipartisan could get done, because we know there's a great divide in what a solution is. But don't you think that both sides, everyone involved, thinks there needs to be a solution to the border?
You know, the solution to the border is really a foreign policy issue where the United States has continued to put pressure on particularly Central American countries, and our policies towards those countries have exacerbated, you know, economic issues and created incentives for those folks to leave. If we really want to address the border, we're going to have to address our policies towards those Central American countries. And so we don't necessarily usually take responsibility for that, right? We somehow make it, you know, we somehow paint some picture that, you know, this is Shangri-La, you know, you know, there's so much opportunity here, blah, blah, blah. You know, this kind of rosy picture about American ingenuity and opportunity. But the flip side to that is we really have to stop treating Central American countries the way we do, which creates an environment in which people feel like they need to leave their countries. People don't want to leave their countries. And so that is something that if we want to solve the border, if there is such a problem, we're going to have to switch. We're going to have to change our foreign policy. But not even, you know, as we saw just recently with, you know, the trip that Vice President Harris did down there, you know, we don't necessarily want to admit that we are the central problem in this border crisis. It's not these folks. These folks they're poor. They're looking for a way out. They don't want to leave their homes. And we are the ones that are creating this environment. We are the powerful people. We are the rich people. We are the dominant partner in this. And we have the power to change the environment in which these people are reacting to.
And change what?
Until we do that.
What needs to change?
Well, first we have to stop meddling in their politics. You know, we have to stop, you know, at the drop of a hat, if they elect somebody that we don't like, we end up calling them socialist or a communist, even when they're popularly elected. And we have a long history of doing this in Central America. This is a relationship that we have created with Central Americans and these Central American countries that has created this sort of environment. So we have to change how we treat these countries. And until then, we're going to continue to create an environment in which people are going to be seeking ways out and ways to improve their families.
Well, Stephen, I appreciate the debate on this, and I'd love to have future conversations as we move forward, because I think the border solution is a very complicated one, but it's one that I think is going to have to take both sides coming to the table in good faith. But I hope you'll come back and talk about that as it moves forward.
Sure, will do.
All right, thanks. That is Stephen Nuño from, he's a senior analyst with Latino Decisions.